Took a break. We're back. Let's get these fucking introductions out of the goddamn way. He said they're not called female grad students. They're flying whales. It's Mr. Rob Fortune.
Thank you for that introduction. Now I'd like to introduce this man. He's not the shooting star. He's just shooting loads at porn stars. It's Jomo.
It's good to thank you. That was fucking, that was amazing. Let's get a sad horn for Cagney Lynn Carter. She took her own life. She shot herself in the head with a shotgun. Classy.
Oh.
She was a porn star.
Yeah, she blew her fucking brains out.
Yeah, I mean, I had to whack it to her just out of respect, you know? Once I heard that shit, I was like jerking off. I was like, oh, you know what? Let me put on an oldie,
yeah.
You know?
And, yeah.
And it's nothing emotional. It's out of respect, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rob. That was... I'm a piece of shit. All right. All right. I got to get this one out. This one's fucking really good. God damn, this one's good. Before he eats ass, he yells, "Into the storm, it's Mr. Jack Falcon."
I think that when I checked my
Are you back on
settings,
the wagon?
No, I haven't had a drink in like a month.
Gee, good for you. God damn.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, this is iced tea.
Good.
I'm living the boring life.
Yeah, man.
Honestly, when I'm up at like 11:30 playing games, I'm just like drinking like boring ass iced tea. I'm like, eh, whatever.
Yeah. How's the mind setting?
That's my life. The mind setting. Like, do I want booze?
Yeah. Like, do you want?
No. No, but like last year in August and September, I didn't drink in either month. But like towards the end of September, I knew I was gonna like start drinking in October again, and I was getting like antsy. But now it's like I'm not like setting dates. I don't care when I have a drink, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
I'm just taking it one day at a time. You know, just chilling.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Okay.
Okay. All right, and we're back to the soundboard. How's everyone doing? It's been a while.
We're good. I'm good. Rob?
Very good. Want to talk about Gojira?
Oh, Gojira. Okay. Hello, Gojira.
Jomo.
Okay. Anyway. We knew this week was going to get mildly racist, all right?
All right. We're talking about Gojira today. So I forget to say it. Hey, I have ADHD. Okay, so I'm going to always claim this. I always forget to say it. Well, I say it like 70% of the time. All this information is from Wikipedia or from the Grammy website. I'm not trying to steal people's shit. That's where it comes from. I forget to say it all the time. But I say it enough to where I feel like if people ever listen to the show that they know where it all comes from. So we're going to talk about four Gojira albums today. They have seven altogether. They have Terra Incognita, which came out in 2001, The Link, which came out in 2003, and The Wild Child, which actually is this band is from France. So whatever The Wild Child, the name of that album is in French. I'm not going to even attempt pronouncing it. The translation is apparently The Wild Child came out in 2012. Those are the three records we're not talking about today. And then we're going to talk about the other four. There's kind of two eras to this band. Is there anything anybody wants to say before we start?
No, just go on.
All right.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Okay. From Mars to Sirius is a 12-track record released in 2005, coming in just under 67 minutes long. It's the band's third studio album, reaching number 44 on the French albums chart. It contains the single To Sirius. From Mars was largely written by guitarist vocalist Joe Duplantier and his brother, drummer Mario. So, singer, guitar player, drummer, brothers. The other two are other people who have French names, so I'm not pronouncing them. According to Mario, it was entirely self-produced by the band. It's a concept album addressing environmental issues and the rebirth of a dead planet through a space travel storyline with the underlying theme of a transition from war to peace. Gojira had emphasized more interludes and melodies this time around. Joe said that From Mars to Sirius represented a journey, saying... And as in every journey, there are air gaps, variations, and moments of calm. After the recording of 2001's Terra Incognita, made in 10 days in a studio in Brussels, Gojira decided to build their own studio where From Mars to Sirius would be recorded. From Mars to Sirius relates the resurrection of a dead planet through an interplanetary quest tackling environmental issues such as climate change and impacts on marine life, as well as broader themes of life, death, and rebirth. Explaining the meaning behind the album title, Joe said in an interview that in some cultures, Mars symbolizes war and serious peace. It's a journey of a state of war, a war within us, in our flesh, in our mind, and a war within ourselves. The song Flying Whales is an homage to whales and their intelligence. The idea emerged during the Lynx tour and resulted in the imagery and artwork for the album, which was created by Joe. Rob, what do you think of From Mars to Sirius?
Let's see. So I'll give this one fourth place for the week. Now, okay, so I had never listened to this band before this week, I don't think. I mean, I think a friend of the podcast, Chris, loves this band. I think he's posted about them, or maybe I'm confusing him with someone else. But yeah, like, this is a band that I've heard about a bunch of times. I was told to check them out. I was told they're tight. They sounded tight, but I never gave them a chance until this week. And yeah, this was my favorite band for like 3 days. I don't know. I wasn't really in the mood for it for some of the week, but like, yeah, up and down. Yeah. So this first album. So all these albums are good. Like they're technical. They're skillful, whatever. And comparing them to Mastodon is a big compliment, I think, for me, because Mastodon again was like my favorite band when I was 22 or whatever age I was. And yeah. So if this is French Mastodon, yeah. I dig this band. I like them quite a bit. And comparing them to Mastodon makes quite a bit of sense because, like, you know, the first couple albums we're going to talk about are heavy as balls, and they get a little bit spacier and a little bit, you know, same kind of trajectory. You know, it's similar trajectory that Mastodon had. So I'll compare this to like the Call of the Mastodon era, where like there's some blast beats. It's not like a band that's all blast beats, but you know, they're sprinkled throughout a little bit, and it's like raw and unpolished. Like you hear it in the snare, especially. That's like like, I don't know that I like this snare, but like it is like, this is like a dirty sounding album compared to some of the ones that come. And some of the riffs here, some of the riffs here are just kind of like pairings of extreme sounds where yeah, it's not at the level of like Dillinger Escape Plan, but it's kind of like you get like some of the like it doesn't always feel like a riff that tells me a fucking story. It's just like we're sounding really heavy by having like you know, big screeches and like, you know, guitars that tune really low and like these two things that kind of like, you know, it's like the contrast punches you in the face, but I don't know that the songwriting is here yet. So like, I don't really care about this album. There are moments where it shows me what's to come. So I'm giving it fourth place. It's not a bad album, but it's not for me. That's it.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, this one is up there for me, actually. For a while this week, this was my favorite. So yeah, there's two eras of this band. The heavier era, which is the early stuff. And then, I don't want to say like not heavy era. They're still heavy going like later on, but they're two different things. If you listen to this album versus the latest one, Fortitude, there's a clear difference between the two. So a bunch of my friends talk about Gojira as well. And I've heard many people say that Gojira is the heaviest band on Earth. They're not. Okay. They're not the heaviest band on Earth. So I'm going to say like Behemoth is still the heaviest band on Earth. I don't know any band that's heavier than that. But it's definitely not Gojira. And not taking away from them. They are great. So one of the things that with this band is, okay, I don't love every riff and I don't want to pick apart songs, but I feel like as a whole, either album or song wise, I kind of love the final product of this band. I posted a live show. It's like an hour and a half long from a couple years back. And I don't know, like everything comes together so well. Like the final product is great. It's heavy. It's technical. It's beautiful. I like this era. This is my favorite of the two early albums. And then my second favorite is one of the later albums. I listened to these like countless times over the past couple weeks, and I got more and more into them as I was going on. Rob brought up the Mastodon thing, and I've thought about this quite a bit, where I would compare them with Mastodon. There are times I'm up on this band, and there are times that I'm not like, there are times like I really love them, and there's times that like they're okay, they're not my favorite. But there's three songs in this album that I'm all in with them. Backbone, banger, right? So that's one I cut it out of the blur, but they played two songs before this record came out. One was Backbone, which I think is awesome. The other one's The Heaviest Matter of the Universe. Another fucking banger song that I absolutely love. The last song on this record as well, Global Warming, guitar-wise, gives me a massive boner. I love it. It's one of my favorite in their whole catalog. So yeah, I don't know. There's times where this was my favorite. There's times where it wasn't. Overall, I still think this is a great record. Another thing that this band does well, their instrumentals, they're placed properly. They still have balls. They let like the albums breathe. There's a lot of heavy shit going on here. And they break it up, and it's really nice. Jomo, what do you think of this record?
Oh, when I heard you say Backbone, I was like,
I'm fighting for my life.
I was like, God damn. Here's the interesting thing. All right, when I listen to Gojira, I'm like, all right, this opens up like someone's using Pro Tools to produce their own album. And I'm okay with that because it actually sounds good. We're talking about From Mars to Sirius, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. There's just some things in part about this album, like the guitarist that I'm seeing, I'm less than impressed with. And the reason why the guitarist threw me off is it sounds very new metal, black metal fusion-y. And I can't dig it at all. It's not for me. And I don't think they're bad at all. I just don't like French people. It's ignorance. Right. Okay. Wow. No fucking claps on that one. All right. Fuck me. Ignorance aside, my favorite track, that fucks like Rocco Siffredi is Where Dragons Dwell. I was just like in the back jerking off in the corner, like, God damn, it's fucking really good. It's brutal. It's fucking sludgy. There's a lot of heavy double bass that I enjoy, and it flows like two autistic kids dancing rhythmically before they commit a crime. We know what they're about to do. I'm not going to mention it because I don't want to get canceled just yet. Okay. Composition of these songs, a lot of them sound like Strapping Young Lad and Devin Townsend Project, which I'm okay with. If it's like the later Strapping Young Lad, not the earlier Strapping Young Lad, that was like fucking fever dream drinking and fucking ambient fucking nightmares. It's not for me. It's metal enough for me. And, you know, there's just some parts of it that just feel, it's very off-putting. Like it's European. I'm not supposed to like this shit at all whatsoever. And I know Hayden's going to fucking hate us for this. But it is what it is. 5 for 10 for the week. It's mediocre. It's heavy, but it's not like it just doesn't. You know, it just doesn't do it for me. I don't know. There's something off. Maybe it's because I'm a piece of shit. That's why I don't like it. All right. I'm still pissed about I'm still pissed about my hollow teeth mug. But it's whatever. Yeah. All right. I'm over it.
Sorry about that.
That's what's throwing me off.
Another thing that these guys do that I don't know if, so there are people who say the drummer of this band is underrated. Yeah, he has to be. I've never heard anyone ever bring up the drummer of this band. Also, another thing these guys do is they're pinch harmonics. So they do quite a few things with pick scrapes, with natural harmonics, with pinch harmonics. I feel like everybody gives Killswitch the credit for bringing it back. And they did. They made those big loud squeals popular again in like 2001, 2002. These guys are doing it at the same time. I'm going to guess it goes back to the previous records before this in 2001. They were probably doing it as well. So yeah, they deserve some credit for that. There's a song in here, Flying Whales. People had to have died to that fucking song in the pit. There's some like pretty evil riffs on here as well, which I do like. So yeah, this was my favorite for a while. I don't know. I still like it quite a bit. Let's read some YouTube comments. First one, a record that truly changed my vision of metal music. Next one says, forever a classic. Next one, Backbone, in my personal opinion, is one of the best metal tracks ever. Next one says, still banging this after 18 years. And lastly, the melodic outro of Ocean Planet always makes me tear up. Is there anything else that anyone wants to say about From Mars to Sirius before I move on?
No.
You are gay.
That's is that it? Okay. We're going to move on now. The Way of All Flesh is a 12-track record released in 2008, coming just over 75 minutes long. It's the band's fourth studio album, reaching number 28 on the French albums charts. It contains the singles Vacuity and All of the Tears. Joe Duplantier revealed to Total Guitar magazine that The Way of All Flesh deals with their vision about life and death. It's everything we have to go through until death. I'm 30 years old now, and it's the first time as a human being that I've thought about my own death philosophically. And the time that I have to spend here on Earth is something that we're all concerned about. But it's almost taboo. You don't go to a party and talk about death, right? Do you do that, Gemma?
Dude, I bring that shit up. I pray for my immediate demise, and I'm too much of a coward to take my own life. So I'm just praying I get T-boned, man.
Joma rolls into a party that's like banging, and you just bring up death.
Bring up death. I bring up like the Holocaust and fucking
all the taboo shit.
Hamas, you know. Yeah. Okay. I'm a piece of shit.
Joe also references the bands that Gojira have toured with, as well as the environment and landscape of the band's hometown, as influences in the writing of Flesh. The final song and title track contains a hidden instrumental segment. The main track ends at 6 minutes and 51 seconds, and the hidden song starts at 12 minutes and 33 seconds. It contains complex layers of ambient guitar sounds and various echo and reverb effects. A similar idea was used on their debut album, 2001's Terra Incognita. The original vinyl version does not contain the expanded track. Randy Blythe from Lamb of God appears as guest vocalist on the song Adoration for None. There's a funny comment on that song, because if you look it up, the official version of that doesn't say featuring Randy Blythe. And someone in the comment was like, why does the singer of this band sound like Randy Blythe? And then there's like 50 comments saying that it's him. The song The Art of Dying is a reference to the Buddhist concept of rebirth. At the end of the song, there is a small part that is played backwards. If backmasked, the section would bear a resemblance to the song Esoteric Surgery, which is then repeated at the end of the very next track. A similar technique is used at the end of Wolf Down the Earth. The cover again features artwork created by Joe. Jomo, what do you think of The Way of All Flesh?
Okay, I will say this. This is more of my style. It seems it's like more gentier, more heavier. Toxic Garbage Island is not only my nickname, it is a legit anthem for violence, man. I fucking love that goddamn song. And I could have done without A Sight to Be Behold. And that was one of the songs. What the fuck was that song, man? It's fucking insane. And Yama's message, it's like a big hallucination. This shit makes me want to do drugs. That's what it makes me want to do. It makes me want to get my hands on fucking LSD, fucking DMT, all this good shit. I want to go to a fucking psych ward after I'm done listening to this shit. And it stands out, like all these songs, like Yama's message, it stands out like a goddamn medieval battle. I want to be William Wallace and chopping off fucking legs and heads. That's what I want to be part of. I don't know, man. I hallucinate about shit all the time. I'm pretty sure I'm schizophrenic, but it is what it is, man. This whole album is way brutal. It seems more heavier to me, but they're still French. That's the fucking problem with it. It's like the fact that they're, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Rob Fortune is French. Are you French, Rob?
Yes, I am.
Okay. This is why I like you, because you're American. But if you were from there, I'd be like, ugh, I can't stand this fucking guy.
Nice.
Fucking, Rob, I'm joking. All right.
Yeah.
Listen, we don't have many French listeners. So it's not like anyone's listening over there. But they know I'm a piece of shit. All right, I'm just done. I'm getting off my damn soapbox, man. 6 for 10 for the week. It is an improvement from Mars to Sirius. There's different, more elements, and it just seems heavier. It just seems like they went in, they did a lot more heaviness, and they're very heavy. They're very heavy. It's great. This is the best heaviness I ever heard of in my life. It's very genty. Wow. Amazing.
Nice.
So, yeah, this was my least favorite for quite a while, but I figured it was going to be... I figured it was going to be your and Rob's favorite.
Oh, yeah.
You brought up A Sight to Behold, right? Yeah, that's like... It has like this 90s industrial 2000s nu metal thing going on. I don't know. I'm completely into it. I think it's one of the best songs on the album. One of the things I like about the composition of this band is something that they'll do is they'll play a riff and then they'll play the same riff, but they'll add like two or three measures to it, or they'll remove or they'll add a beat or remove a beat, or they'll add two beats and they'll play the same riff like back to back, and they're the same riff, but one will be a hair longer or a hair shorter than the one before, and it works well together. They do it in quite a bit of the records. I'm going to bring up a song that they do it with in a future one as well. I still think that this is their best era. The thing about these guys is they were underground for quite a while, or let's just say not mainstream for quite a while. And then I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know if it was making their rounds on YouTube or having a music video go viral. I'm not exactly sure what like pivoted the tide for these guys and made them like pretty popular. They've been nominated for Grammys, which we'll talk about later on. Yeah, and I don't think that these guys have any bad records, and I really don't think they even have any bad songs on any of these. These albums are carefully constructed. They're not just shit out by four guys. And yeah, like listening to these records over the past couple weeks has also, there's a guy who's saying that this changed his mind, like for metal, but this definitely has changed the way I've been thinking about music. And one of the things is that I went into this band looking for that Tornado of Souls riff, and I didn't really ever find it. But the more I was looking for it, the more I kind of realized, like, I don't really need it with this band. Again, for me, it's not like I don't want to pick apart every riff, because there's boring riffs in here. At one point, I think in like the next blurb, they're going to talk about how they threw riffs away. There are riffs on this album that I would have thrown away. But they all just like transition really well. There's a song that Jomo brought up, Toxic Garbage Island. There's a transition in that song where it goes from a 4-4 riff to a 3-4 like swing riff. And I think it's awesome. It's like, is the riff on either side of that swing riff great? Not really. I don't know. Like, it's not one that I'm going to remember or think about like Tornado of Souls, but I don't know. It's just like, to me, again, it's kind of like the bigger picture of everything and how it flows. And if you watch that concert from like 2021 or whatever, everything sounds great. Everyone's on point. It all just like works together really well. Rob, what do you think of the Wave of Flesh?
Yo, it can't be well constructed and there's riffs that you would have thrown out at the same time. It's one or the other, bro. I'm giving this third place. This is a competent band, but my favorite is the next two albums. For me, I actually like the second half of this album better than the first. Let's see. Yeah, Way of All Flesh was my favorite song, I think. Like, Spacey Cool Stonery, like, that's the stuff that, like, I like about them, and that you'll get more of that coming up. And, I don't know, this era is good, but it's not for me. That's it. Third place.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, in the song Wolf Down the Earth, there's like this almost hidden guitar harmony. Put it on, blast it, wear headphones. You'll hear it if you're paying attention for it. Art of Dying is like a 10-minute long song. That song could make me believe in God. Might be the best song on the album. Drums are fucking great. There are people who, Gojira's gotten to the point where when people talk about the Way of All Flesh and someone brings up From Mars to Sirius, people say, oh, that album's overrated. So they fight with each other in the comments. That's where this band's at right now. Let's read a couple YouTube comments and we'll move on. First one said, this is my favorite metal album ever, not because it's brutal, fast, or heavy, but because it balances all of them while delivering a surprisingly good message. Next one, Art of Dying is goddamn titan of a track. Felt like my balls exploded the first time hearing it. Next one, this band has really refreshed metal. Next one says, I was listening to Opeth on autoplay and this came on. I don't regret it. And lastly, they've reached their peak with this one. Simply amazing arrangement and production wise. Is there anything else anybody wants to say about The Way of All Flesh?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay.
I'm Lady Boy.
All right.
Next.
Okay. Magma is a 10-track record released in 2016, coming in just under 44 minutes long. It's the band's sixth studio album, reaching number 10 on the French albums chart. It contains the singles Stranded and Silvera. Magma has been noted as a stylistic departure from Gojira's previous albums, featuring a more accessible atmospheric sound and more prominent use of clean vocals. It was dedicated to the Duplantier's brother's mother, Patricia, who died during the recording of the album in 2015. Joe relocated to New York City and construction began at his own recording studio, Silver Chord Studio in Queens, in November 2014, and his brother Mario joined him there. By April 2015, the studio was completed and the band began recording music. The Magma sessions were put on hold when Joe and Mario's mother fell ill and they flew back to France. At this stage, the brothers decided to associate the album title with the imagery of the magma in the Earth's core, saying that they were feeling a mix between memories of the past and the fear of the future. With all the emotions burning inside. Magma is this expression of something boiling inside. We can't touch it, but eventually it will erupt. It makes perfect sense for how we're feeling at the time. Their mother died in July 2018, and Gojira spent time touring before returning to continue the Magma sessions, consequently taking on a darker tone. The writing process for Magma differed from previous albums, with Joe saying that we do... We do things a little different. We dump songs, we dump riffs, which we never did before. In the past, we would prepare 12 songs, get to the studio and record them just exactly as they were on the demos. We decided to do it differently this time. The musical orientation was intended to be more mature, less visceral, and they also tried to refine the music. It was a real challenge to develop simplified things on drums, said Mario. The band wanted more breathing in the compositions. About the record's general direction, Joe stated, "We want a short album, something less epic than what we usually do. People's attention spans are shorter now. A lot of the songs are 4 minutes." He said, "We have some Pantera-ish kind of riffs, which is kind of new for us, but we want riffs to be a little punchier sometimes." 2 months were required to record the vocals, and the mixing was completed in February 2016. At 2016's 59th Annual Grammy Awards, Silvera was nominated for Best Metal Performance, but lost to Megadeth with Dystopia, and Magma was nominated for Best Rock Album, but lost to Cage the Elephant with Tell Me I'm Pretty. Magma has been certified gold. So this album was my favorite for most of the 2 weeks that we listened to this stuff. Or if it was longer than that. Yeah, so this is clearly a departure from the previous stuff, I think, in a good way. And even if you didn't know any of the stuff I just said about this, with their mother dying, I think that just putting this record on, you'd be like, okay, something here has changed within the band. They went for that shorter route, and I guess you could say that this is a tighter record. I don't think the other two albums are too bloated. They are definitely longer. But this is an album where a couple of times where I was listening to this, I wasn't really paying full attention to it. And by the time you know it, it's over. It is shorter. And this is one I'm going to continue to listen to again in the future. It's good. I don't know. There's something about this record I really like. My only gripe with this entire week is the very last song on this album, Liberation. I don't know why it's even here. Like, if you wanted to have this instrumental track towards the end, it's kind of just people sitting around chilling, hanging out in the recording studio. I don't know if they were just drinking beers or doing whatever. I don't know why it's here. If you really want it, put it earlier in the mix. The song Lowlands ends this album perfectly. You didn't need to keep going. There are people who like the song quite a bit that talk about it online. And then apparently, like, the song, the video has like 50 dislikes. So there's also people who are like, fuck this song. Rob, what do you think of Magma?
Yeah, maybe I hate Liberation also, but yeah, okay. So I'm giving Magma number one for the week for, like, here's the reason why I'm giving it number one. I turned this album on for the first time. I'm listening to The Shooting Star, and if I said out loud, I was just in my car by myself, and I said out loud, "It hurts so good," and I started crying. Like, that's what the riff did to me. Like, there's a fucking chord change, and there's a fucking whatever, and it just, I felt it, and I haven't felt that way about music in a while, and it's just I talk a lot about how much I think, a lot of music is at a certain level, and then, like, you know, you can have a pop hit if you get to a certain level, and then I think that for me, it's like Closer and Dragula are like the pop hits that are like touched by God, like you can't, like, you know. So now I want to talk about something that's to the left of that. It's like I've experienced it with Horrendous's Ecdysis. I experienced it with The Shooting Star, where it's like I feel like it's not a pop song. It's not like but it's the same thing of, like, I feel like the Stranger by Horrendous. There were so many times that, like, I became open to the possibility of God as I was listening to it. I was like a lifelong atheist listening to Tool and whatever, and then I'm just like, I cannot, like, I'm having a fucking visceral reaction to this thing that I'm hearing, and it's not like it this happened to me 80 times in a row to the same song. So I'm just like, how can it be that something continues to touch me over and over? Insert pedophilia jokes, whatever. But yeah, I regret saying that out loud. Whatever. But yeah, anyway. So yeah, to me, this this there's a certain perfection here so to me, like, yeah, maybe but the difference is with the shooting stuff with this album, I didn't get it like for all the 3 weeks or whatever that we listened to this. It just, I had a time where like this is my fucking favorite shit, and I wanted to like be in a metal band again, and then I'm just fucking tired at a certain point, which is kind of like, so I kind of switched back and forth whether I was going to give Fortitude number one or Magma. But yeah, I like, for the times that I was just like, but due to the magical experiences that I had listening to some of these songs, I'm going to give this number one. But yes, the Shooting Star, it, like, there's a certain like simplicity, like it didn't take a lot. This, here's something that like, you can't even like put it into words exactly, but like a lot of the best things don't have a million fucking ingredients to it. It's just, you made the right decisions, you left a bunch of crap out, and it's just everything there matters. And that's how I feel about the Shooting Star. Like, that's a fucking riff, and it's not a fucking, it's not a technical riff. There's enough changes in there to make it interesting, but it's also simple as fuck. And so how do you make something that's that magical, but it's also that simple? I don't know. Some things have it and some things don't. Silvera, also a top tier song for me. And here's something that I talk about a lot, but like motifs. It's like you introduce a riff, you do it again, a slightly different, and it's just like you're building on something that's already there. It's familiar, but it's new. And yeah, that song fucking does it for me. Stranded, also top tier song. So I think I really only care about three songs on this album, but like, you know, I'm giving it number one because of my fucking reaction that I had to those three songs. That's it.
Yeah, Silvera has one of the most recognizable riffs, I think, that we heard from this band out of all four of these albums. It's like, I remember hearing it the first time. I think this might have been one of the last records I had listened to, but I remember like hearing it in that live set from 2021, and that riff, like, as soon as I heard it here recorded, I was like, oh yeah, that's like, you hear it the first time, you're never going to forget about it. Also, the lead playing in Silvera, like, is not very complex, but it's played so cleanly that it's perfect. He even plays it like clean as fuck when they play live. And that's worth a lot. Like, he doesn't have to be up there just shredding, going crazy. For it to be as crisp and clean, I mean, that's worth its weight in gold as well. Yeah, Stranded, banger, no-brainer chorus. No-brainer single. A chorus of that song reminds me of the chorus from Amazonia, which is on Fortitude. There's a song on here, Pray. That's the one I want to talk about, how perfect example of the riff being played once, and the second time they add a couple beats to it, and then they alternate between the two. I don't know. It's really cool. This is a great record. I got lost into it quite a bit. I'd love to continue getting lost in it in the future. I think they did a great job with this album. Jomo, what do you think of Magma?
Liquid Hot Magma. this is officially like the DMT trip right here, man. This is the good shit. Definitely the top album for me this week. But I'm gonna have to say something that's gonna piss Rob Fortune off. The album felt unoriginally original, right? So you have songs like Magma, but that reminds me a lot of Opeth. You have Silvera, which sounds like Meshuggah. Shooting Star gives me like Tool feel, like the band Tool. It gives me those fucking vibes. And there's just like this je ne sais quoi about it, you know? No one else found that funny? Okay, your lack of fucking...
It's French.
Lack of fucking laughter means you're uncultured swine, both of you. How dare you? All right, 6.5 out of 10.
6.45 out of 10?
Yeah, 6.5, 6.5.
Oh, 6.5, yeah. Okay. One of the other things, I don't know if I brought up, but yeah, the harmonic use of this band, they do it quite a bit. It's hard to tell sometimes if it's a natural harmonic or a combination of like a pick scrape or some pedal. There's pedals that do whack sounds as well. I don't know, Magma, they They have some riffs that use it. The Cell, it's crazy to me that wasn't a single. I feel like that would have been played everywhere. Banger chorus, good song. Yeah, you can't really go wrong here with the exception of Liberation. I don't know. Fucking burn the CD and don't include that song. Let's read a couple YouTube comments. We'll move on. First, I found this randomly on YouTube music playlist while walking home at 1 a.m. high as fuck in a neighborhood I've never been to before. Next one says, it's beautiful, strangely hypnotic. I can't seem to turn away. Next comment, definite Pink Floyd influence. Maybe. Next one, French metal kicks ass. Who knew? Is that true, Joma?
I fucking hit a chord with Rob, and I don't want to fucking agitate him. So we're just gonna let's move on.
Okay, next one. Gojira is the best metal band out right now. They are the present and future of heavy metal. Fair enough. Anyone else want to say anything about Magma before we hop to the last record?
Magma.
Magma.
Liquid hot magma.
Next.
All right, Fortitude is an 11-track record released in 2021, coming in just under 52 minutes long. It's the band's seventh studio album, reaching number 2 on the French albums chart. It contains the singles Another World, Born for One Thing, Amazonia, Into the Storm, and The Chant. Having had sustained request to tour worldwide in support of 2016's Magma beyond the initial cycle, Gojira declined in order to focus on writing a new album. The creative process of the band's seventh album began in late 2017. They intended to write a groovy album with a strong theme and focused on sharing with the audience an album where two energies coexist. It was inspired as an encouragement to self-reinforcement, to show courage to face up the world, to face tomorrow's problems. Gojira's ambition was to write a more cohesive and brighter album than Magma, emphasizing a progressive sound while incorporating guitar solos and classic rock elements with a positive lyrical message. The songwriting began in early 2018, but was put on hold due to the band's touring schedule. Fortitude's songwriting officially started in early 2018 at Silvercord Studio, which would become the cocoon for a two-year creative odyssey. The goal was to focus the music on big guitar riffs rather than the performance. The dynamics tended to go towards an organic sound. They used two different guitar amp heads depending on the songs and without post-production treatment for a raw result. While retaining their signature style, Gojira extended their range to a traditional dimension and started sliding their sound towards the 1970s and 1980s major chords progression of classic bands, embracing melodies and guitar solos. On Fortitude, Gojira put forward the use of backing vocals and choirs that were already present in the previous albums, but buried them in the mix. A different lyrical approach was taken than the one explored in Magma. It was heavily influenced by the death of the Duplantier's mother and had a lot of pain and grief attached to it. Joe said, at the time the band had the desire to fill the album with more joy, even if it doesn't come across as joyful music. It would be emphasized by more power and more positivity about life in general. The album was structured thematically around the notion of urging humanity to imagine a new world and then make it happen. At 2021's 64th Annual Grammy Awards, Amazonia was for best metal performance, but lost to Dream Theater with The Alien. Rob, what do you think of Fortitude?
So I'm giving it second place, but this is probably the one I listened to the most, and I'm kind of not surprised to hear them say that they wanted this to be like more of an uplifting album. Like, this is like I'm not saying that I rode around with my windows down every day because it's a little too cold for that, but I kind of felt like that, going to and from work, it's like this album helped me relax a bit. I mean, it's a heavy album, but I comprehend, like, it's funny to hear people bring up Pink Floyd and, you know, 70s and stuff. I can hear it now that people have said it. I'm putting that together. I don't know, like, yeah, a lot of times I would drive, I would skip to Another World. I'd start on track 3. It's not that, there are parts of Born for One Thing that I thought were top tier, and Amazonia has a fucking mouth harp or whatever that's called. That's pretty hilarious, but, you know, it's one of the bigger hits. It's the second biggest hit on this album, but, like, I don't know. It's okay. Maybe it appeals to, there's something about nu metal and like weird instrumentation that's like, oh, that's hilarious. It's like, let's make it a hit. I don't know. The song's okay. Yeah. But, Another World, I fucking love that song. Hold On, I love Newfound, I skip. Fuck that song. Fortitude. Okay. So here's why this, I almost wanted to give this album of number one for the week. This, I think they've gotten better at songwriting. I think they have more like riffs that you could like hum, like, that would like come to you. You know, it's like From Mars to Sirius is it's just loud sounds contrasting. Fucking Fortitude is a riff, and then like you're playing it on the bass, and then you have the chorus sing it in the chant. Like that's a fucking riff, and they play it forever, which is super stonery. That's gonna bore a lot of people. It doesn't bore me. It's funny that I've never like I'm not a weed person, but like I have the weed disposition. Where like fucking play a riff for 10 minutes, I might like it more the more you play it. So I really got that weed feeling on that album, and it was really hitting the spot this week. Yeah, I love the chant, and probably my favorite moment on the record. I always made sure to like pull into work as I'm listening to Into the Storm. Okay, so I am gonna call out. There's a technique that I love that they do. They do it like four times on this album, which is too many, but like. Okay, Into the Storm. Like, when I hear this drum beat, okay, the first time I put this song on for the first time, I'm like, is there a fucking train coming? Like, you know that sound where, like, the fucking drawbridge comes down and the alarm is going off and then, like, the train comes by? I'm hearing that as I'm listening to this. No, it's just it's a fucking polyrhythm. It's not the 200 IQ Meshuggah polyrhythm. It's a 115 IQ polyrhythm built for me. You know, it's but yeah, and like here's one of those moments at where I haven't played drums for a band in 10 years or whatever, but like this brings me back to being 17 or maybe more like 22 when I was a little bit more mature. When I heard a drummer come up with an idea that, and then I have that moment of, you fucker, you came up with this first. Good for you, because like I like you think like me, and that's like that makes me feel good, but fuck you, because I wanted to come up with this and you did it first. So yeah, I love that drum beat. I'm also like back to like that age of my life. You know, I was in certain bands with certain people who would not let me experiment at all, and I fucking hated being in bands with people like that. And so when I hear a band and like a drummer, like, because the expectation of every band, like every fucking person that I talked to at that age was like, you're the drummer, you have to play super simple. If you are too flashy in any way, you'll confuse the guitar player. Guitar players have a 50 IQ. You can't do anything that'll throw them off, and you can't educate them because they don't want to be educated. So like, just play the simple shit that every other drummer plays. You don't get to experiment at all. You don't get to do anything. Like, that's what I was fucking told. So every time I saw a band, a local or anyone, anytime I saw any drummer that was allowed to be in a band and do something different, I'm like, you fucking lucky bastard. You're not held under the boot of your guitar player and your singer. Like, fucking good for you. I mean, I felt a combination of jealousy and pride and fucking like good for you. And I don't know. So like, yeah, I'm listening to Into the Storm. I had so many like good feelings listening to that that song. And yeah, like the thing at the end where like they're playing a different dynamic of this, of melodies you've heard before, and then they have the drum beat, but it's like they re-recorded it or put whatever effect on it to make it sound spacier and far away. I love that effect. I love it so much. They do it like four times on like the end of four songs. It's like I don't love. If you got something special and you do it four times, it's not special anymore. But I don't know. I had a good feeling listening to this album. I think it's a little bit more consistent. I mean, at least for me, if I only loved three songs on Magma, I think I loved like five of the songs on this one. But I don't know. I like this album quite a bit. I'll be listening to it more. Second place for the week. That's it.
Yeah, Amazonia, awesome song. It was stuck in my head for quite a while. Another World, incredible song. That's another one of those choruses that just gets stuck in your head like instantly. Oh, they do the one thing the guitar player is doing here. They do this triplet thing. I think they've done them on most of the records. I do it again here. There's this transition from like the bridge back to the chorus. That's fucking awesome. Fortitude, Rob brought it up. first of all, it's a breather track, which is great, but it like it rolls perfectly into the chant, like Jizzworthy rolled back into the chant. Great. Yeah, Into the Storm banger. So yeah, half of the songs in this record were singles, which is pretty incredible. I feel like they kind of have bigger choruses on this album, which helps them. And I'm just really proud of Gojira for not just kind of fading into obscurity, but they got pushed into the mainstream. Again, I'm not exactly sure what was the catalyst for that, just being great, or I don't know, like a specific video or show or whatever. Lots of stuff to see here and here. Take you quite a while to go through this and kind of pick everything out and see all it has to offer. But yeah, there's a lot of people who really like this record. And unfortunately, who was the band that they were up? Dream Theater.
Oh yeah.
I haven't. Jomo, do you know the song "The Alien"? Do you know this song?
Fucking. You know, they lost me, I think, somewhere in like 2003. That's
okay.
I was like,
a long time ago.
When you write 27-minute long songs, I go, okay, Grandpa. Mm-hmm. All right, enough.
Yeah, let's get you home, Grandpa.
Let's go home.
Jomo, what do you think of?
All right, two things. Rob said, "Fucking." When you do something four times, it's no longer special. I beg to differ. If you do anal four times, the fifth time is still going to be special. Okay. That's very true. Okay, Rob. Let's backpedal what you said. And second thing is, when I looked at this album, the artwork, and then listened to it, I was like, I know a Mastodon ripoff when I see one. Okay. 5 for 10 for the week. It's still a good effort.
All right. Yeah, let's read a couple comments and get out of here. First one, we need more bands like Gojira. Next one says, I love the transition from Fortitude to the chant. Yeah, it's great. I bet you there's a lot of people who don't even realize that they're two different songs. Next one says, I can't stop listening to it. Next comment, great sound with echoes of Sepultura. And lastly, I slept on this band for so long. Great album, awesome music. Into the Storm hits right in the feels. That's one of the biggest comments that I've seen this entire time we've been listening to Gojira, is that I've been sleeping on this band for X amount of years. That's probably the most common thing that I've seen. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about Gojira before we get out of here?
No, it's fucking, no. They're heavy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jomo, what are we doing next time?
All right, check this out. I'm going to bring in a special guest. He's from Deutschland, right? And it is one I'm not going to be hosting next week. It's going to be Adolf Schwarzenegger. He's coming back. And also, I have a real live German that's going to be interpreting while we're on air. He's going to be joining us. Nice. All right?
Good.
So we're doing Sodom, Creator, Halloween, and Scorpions. It's going to be a German compilation episode.
Nice.
All righty.
It's funny, I've been listening to Gamma Ray this week.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which is Halloween's like solo project.
Oh, I didn't know that shit. Well,
yeah.
All right, man. Well, gentlemen, take care. Have a good day.
Take care.